This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Joseph Rodriguez. Joseph has a wonderful sort of bird's eye view of the anesthesia world and what's happening with the delivery of anesthesia services and the evolutions he's seeing and a lot more. We're going to talk to him about mostly about that today and then what the big priorities are for this year, what he's excited about, and a little bit more. Joseph, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Hey, Scott. Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on. Again, my name is Joe Rodriguez, originally from the Keystone State, but our group, Arizona Anesthesia Solutions, is in the Grand Canyon State of Arizona. For your listeners who aren't political nerds like I am, the Keystone State is Pennsylvania. That's where I was born and educated. And then I moved my practice life out to Arizona. Our group has been operating for about 6 years now. We operate over three major markets. We have 150 active providers. And this year, we're looking to expand to other states as well as our kind of brand, our solution, as you were, has been popular amongst our clients, our facility clients.
Fantastic. I know that you now serve as a managing partner of your group. You've also served as a faculty in teaching about anesthesia. You also serve as president of the Nurse Anesthetist Association. Talk to us about what are the big trends you're following currently in anesthesia? What are you watching today?
Yeah, you know, I have seen more change in anesthesia in the past 2 years than I saw in the previous eight before that. And obviously that's related to COVID, right? It was kind of like we were heading up this mountain and all of a sudden we just got pushed off the edge. And what we're seeing is incredible demand for services from CRNAs, especially, right? Especially in states where it was previously only MD type services, right? And really what we're seeing is a demand for CRNAs to be, the buzzword is top of license or full scope providers, right? But we're also seeing really interesting collaborative efforts between physicians and CRNAs that are, you know, basically saying whatever the maximum value that we can provide for facilities, whether that's all CRNA or in some cases all MD or a mix of the both, that's what we're going to do. Rather than some sort of hierarchical, you know, the trade association statement from some other faraway city, that, you know, especially this thing called the anesthesia care team, we see that going away very quickly because as your audience knows, there's incredible demands to maintain care. Yeah.
And let me ask you this question. I mean, if you went back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the anesthesiology community, anesthesiologist community, would very much fight the CRNA community and the ability to practice that type of license and so forth. And this was, you know, almost led, it didn't lead to, but it led to huge growth of the AANA, which in part was responding to those issues and that sort of blocking anesthetists from practicing at the top of their license. Has that fight softened a lot as there's more shortages, or is that territorial fight still as strong as it ever was? What's some of your sentiment on what you see out there?
Sure. I think at the political level, right, in state legislatures, it is probably more hot than ever. Like we've seen lots and lots of legislative efforts, both successful and unsuccessful between those two groups. But I think at the market level, at the practice level, you're seeing leaders of anesthesiology departments say, this is not we've been asking the wrong question, right? For the past 20 years, I think leaders in that community are finally saying, we're trying to solve the wrong problem here because holding people back, as it turns out, is not a great strategy to increase our overall value equation as an organization, right? If you're short 20 providers in your department and you're running these very low ratios, 1-2, 1-4, that doesn't make for a good business equation for your partners in care.
And so you see at the market level, it's almost like at the political level, the Democrats, Republicans fight on every single thing. But at the market level, many Democrats, Republicans get along just fine, although it's been a challenging year for some of that. Mm-hmm. And similar here, at the political level, the anesthesia organization and anesthetist organization are still fighting. But at the market level, you have much more anesthesiologists and anesthetists trying to solve problems that actually provide care.
Yeah, you said it. It's incredible. Once you get down to the brass tacks, so to speak, when a facility says we need this many rooms covered, or we're going to look elsewhere for anesthesia services, all of a sudden the politics go out the window, right? We just want to solve the problem ahead of us. And there's a recognition, I think, in the MD anesthesia community that CRNA only care as our group has, as both CRNA only models as well as collaborative models, that's just here to stay. And in certain instances, that's going to be very appropriate. And in other instances, it makes more sense to have a set of free hands, especially depending on the experience of the people on the ground. And that's, the market is figuring it out, as markets should, right? They're coming up with the innovative solutions. And that's what we've seen as well. We're a group both of CRNAs and physicians. And as it turns out, when everyone's focused on the outcomes for the patients, a lot of the politics just tend to go away. They're not productive, right? They don't help our business, and it doesn't help anyone in the business.
Well, that's for sure. And then what do you see in terms of big differences in rural versus urban markets and the receptivity to anesthetists practicing at the top of their license? Any general observations, or is that too broad of one between rural and metro?
No, that's a great question, because for so long, probably the last, 30, 40 years, CRNAs in rural areas, that's where you saw a lot of independent practice opportunities for those folks. And it's really, just like we were saying before, we are heading up this mountain of, hey, everyone's got to be playing with the full set of cards if we're going to try to maximize value in communities. And then COVID just, it just took that cart and shoved it right over the edge of the mountain, so to speak. And so, yes, in urban areas, that is what we are seeing right now, especially in Phoenix, in Tucson, really throughout I can speak especially to the Western United States. I think there's been more openness in those areas for whatever reason. But we've seen much more openness to that CRNA autonomy in these facilities, because the need is tremendous. And you just, if we keep trying to solve the problem by doing the same thing that everyone else has been doing, which is typically this anesthesia care team model, which really restricts the value of teams, you're not going to solve it, right? That's what was being done before. We've got to come up with something new. We've got to set the ego aside and the politics aside and derive maximum value for our clients. And we've been successful in doing it. We're not the only firm to do so.
I mean, it's sort of fascinating, because you think about some of these team models, quote unquote, they almost feel like labor union types of models, where where the old joke was, if you need to change a light bulb, you need three people. One's got to do this, one's got to do that, one's got to do that. When in reality, one person could do it quite well, and often that was the case. But you have different things that were sort of protective or territorial, and it just is what it is. But what a fascinating evolution to see it really moving. When you look at this year, you're both a CRNA, you're a leader, you've sort of got an entrepreneurial mind as well. Mm-hmm. What are you most excited about this year as you look at this year?
Yeah, what I'm most excited about is we are finally seeing, we've been talking about mainly scope issues, right? And all of a sudden, we are finally seeing that the answer has kind of been staring us, for those of us in the perioperative world, the surgical world, the answer to the anesthesia manpower, it's kind of been staring us in the face. And all we have to do is have the leadership in place to make sure these changes get managed well, and that we are not, and this is probably the most exciting part for me personally, we do not have to think zero sum, right? It doesn't have to be I win or you lose, period, right? Organizational leaders have the opportunity to say, you know what, John, Michael, David, you guys have different credentials and backgrounds. We're going to create a team that creates maximum value for this facility. That's better for our organization. That's better for the patient. That's better for the facility itself or the system itself. And finally, we're seeing openness to these answers, and the answer's really been there the whole time. It's just a matter of having leaders who are courageous enough to implement the change and to do it well in a way that's win-win for everyone, right? Because we do not have to be, successful at the cost of anyone else. It doesn't mean that anyone else has to lose. It just means we have to, actually have a real team.
When you look at this, and you basically say, look, we've had this huge shortage of anesthesia, but we really don't, as long as anesthetists can practice on the top of their license. How much of a parallel is there between that and physician assistants and PAs and so forth practicing in assistance with primary care physicians? How much of an analog is there to that? Because obviously we're staring at a huge shortage of primary care physicians, but can part of that be solved through PAs and so forth too?
Part of it, but perhaps not as much as one might think, right? And here's why. I'm not an expert in primary care. My expertise is all in anesthesia, right? But I think there is professional overlap, right? Between many professions, ophthalmologists, optometrists, DPMs, and, you know, foot and ankle MDs, right? NPs and primary care MDs. In anesthesia especially, though, there is a tremendous amount of overlap, often 100%, right? That's why you have many departments which are CRNA only. Now, that's not to say every practitioner is the same. You know, creating policies around just their license alone is a way to make really bad policy. So I think in anesthesia, you have more overlap than in other areas. But so that's part A. And then part B is, in every area in healthcare, we've got to get around our minds around maximum value. How can we create maximum value? And that means nurse practitioners, PAs, everybody's got to be contributing everything they can to benefit patients, because that's how we solve the crisis, right? And that includes physicians as well, right? So if there's items that can be done in your practice by a nurse practitioner and they're credentialed and certified to do so, then why would you hold them back? I think, you know, Scott, the thing which blows me away as someone who came to healthcare kind of by accident is it seems like we're the only industry that, you know, has these turf wars where we're holding people back. Like, you don't see other industries saying, oh, the solution is holding people back, right? We want maximum value from everyone, from CRNAs, from all types of professionals, and especially from physicians as well.
Joseph, I want to thank you for joining us today. Where can people learn more about you and follow your thoughts around anesthesia and anesthesia?
Sure. You know, I think you and I interact on LinkedIn a little bit, and that's usually where I put these types of thoughts. But, you know, I use my very unique name of Joe Rodriguez to my advantage, and I just go by J-Rod CRNA on basically all social media channels, including Twitter and LinkedIn, where these things typically happen. And if you want to know a little bit more about my professional life, the website is easy, and it focuses on teamwork, which is azas.team, and that's all.
Fantastic. What a great pleasure to visit with you, Joseph. Just a magnificent career, magnificent thinking. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, sir. Have a great day.